This is Bill Ryan here from Project Camelot and Whistleblower Radio. We're going to be talking with Dr. Bill Deagle, our friend and fellow warrior, in just a moment. Dr. Bill, it's a great pleasure to be talking with you.
I appreciate it, Bill. Lots of breaking news.
Well, without any further ado, we've got you on the show here for as long as you're able to talk to us. And a lot of people who've been following our work have been asking us to talk to you as soon as possible to get the clearest possible update on what we all may be embarking on in the next few months. And we wondered if you're in a good position to tell us.
Yes, well, we've been tracking this 7 days a week with lots of contacts, both the following what's in the published secular news plus our contacts, and include classified contacts. So, yeah, we know what's happening, and it's not good.
That was a pretty good one-liner. We're coming up to a break in just about 1 minute, because this is the way this radio show works.
But yeah, that's okay. I can kind of give a summary. What we're coming up with is a convergence of what I call the perfect storm. And we can, when we come back, I guess we'll get into that. Firstly, one of the most interesting stories that happened recently was in Los Angeles with a Mr. Joe Moshe, M-O-S-H-E, which people can Google and find themselves. On Thursday, he was surrounded by a SWAT team after he had called in last week to Dr. Truat's show on Republic Broadcasting and called in asking if there was a state's attorney or someone he could give evidence to, because he was apparently a biological scientist with a dual citizenship in Israel. And he had evidence that the Baxter had a Ukraine lab actually not making a vaccine but making a bioweapon that was going to cause a plague when the vaccine was released. Now, of course, True didn't believe him at first, but what happened is immediately after, the next day, a SWAT team, literally an army, surrounded his Volkswagen Beetle in West Los Angeles. They hit his car 4 times with pepper cannons, and then they sent in a robot after he just sat in the car, and apparently they were surprised that he didn't kind of cough and choke and come out. They sent in a robot to break a back window, and they tasered him and hauled him out through the windows. Apparently, because of his dual citizenship, he got extradited to Israel, and we haven't heard from him since, but it's just one of the many things that are going on right now in terms of what's happening. But we have very good evidence now that HHS Secretary Sebelius is trying to sidestep and get FDA to approve of the use of these squalene adjuvants. The two different major ones that are quite disturbing are the Novartis MF59 super squalene adjuvant and the AS03 from GlaxoSmithKline that they want to get approved to put in the vaccines. The current ones they're testing now are adjuvant free. They have no squalene in them. They're just testing different dosages of virus protein from a strain called the California 7, which was released in March to the vaccine manufacturers. The first to come back with a vaccine, actually, the Chinese, an affiliate called Sanofi Pasteur, but there's Novartis, GlaxoSmithKline, there's at least a half a dozen companies, and each of them has some very nasty things. They're often grown on fetal cells, they're not grown in egg medium, so they are laced with cancer viruses. They have these toxic adjuvants, including mercury in the multi-dose vaccines, aluminum, tween, which is a cleaning agent, as well as these squalene super adjuvants. And one of the companies, MedImmune, is actually going to be testing here, just announced, and I got the report today, they're going to be testing a live attenuated virus of the pandemic flu in the vaccine. So this is going to be very serious, and of course the virus is tracking along exactly as they expected along the 1918 flu, acquiring new genetics and now Tamiflu resistance in multiple places in North America. It's acquiring genetic changes to grow at lower temperature, to be more aggressive, to reduce the viral load faster, which will induce in young people a more violent cytokine storm. And we expect the second and third waves to get progressively more aggressive on their own. But with the vaccines, some of these are going to contain, like the Novartis vaccine, a split variant that actually has genetics from H5N1, which probably includes the lethal genes like the non-surface protein 1 deletion that allows it to bypass the immune system, and interleukin 4. So we're sitting on a powder keg here, where we not only have the returning virus that's tracking along 1918 swine flu, which is going to be much more lethal than the 1957 flu that killed 75,000. The 1918 flu killed around 675,000 Americans, worldwide probably killed between 40 and 100 million because in third world countries it was much more lethal. This virus is probably going to be as lethal as this in the second and third waves, and if it ever acquires the H5N1 genes, it'll probably have a lethality of somewhere around 70%. So we're looking at a world nation killer and something that in the next several years could get increasingly lethal, causing a shutdown of international commerce. The government wants this. They're actually doing everything they can to do all of the wrong measures, and they're approving vaccines that are almost certainly going to make the virus evolve even quicker.
What I'd like to do is find out a little bit more about what this this person who you said was actually deported.
Yeah, that, we don't know all the details yet, but the more we investigate, the more it has the ring of truth. There are two major news reports out of West Los Angeles that they literally surrounded him with an army. They hit his vehicle with a microwave EMP pulse machine to actually not only disable the ignition, but also knock out any electronics he had to transmit. Because they tried to claim in the news article he threatened the president, Obama, and he didn't do anything of the sort. What he did actually is he called in and said, I have new information because I'm a biological scientist that they are planning on releasing the Baxter vaccine made in the Ukraine that will be shipped to America. And it will, because it's one of the primary contracts, and it's going to contain lethal genes that will cause the death of millions. And he asked Truot on the air if he could get a contact for a state's attorney. He was on his way to the Israeli embassy at the time, which was near the FBI offices in Los Angeles, and the FBI surrounded him with literally an army with the active denial system, microwave tanks, robots. You know, they tasered him and everything. I mean, they must have spent quite a bit of money and had deployed a tremendous number of people. You see the pictures there that are in the news articles. So this has the ring of truth. There's something going on here where we have whistleblowers coming out that are basically telling us, hey, they are going to release a they're not just satisfied with the virus mutating and recombining, either becoming less or more lethal. They want to tweak it along to make sure that it's lethal enough they can declare martial law, which is what the government's pushing for. Because parallel with this, they want to have a bank holiday. They want to revalue the U.S. currency, and they want to switch over to the Amero note sometime in the next 6 to 12 months so that they can form the trade zone of North America.
Our understanding is that the Amero is no longer, that's actually defunct, and they're going with another kind of currency.
They might. Whatever they're calling the currency they're going to go with, they're going to do a tremendous devaluation of the U.S. dollar. What I have from my sources is that they're going to devalue it sometime in one of these waves. It could be this fall or winter, but they're getting ready to do that. They want to have the cover of course, of a plague occurring at the same time to quell the population, because there's going to be a lot of resistance.
Okay. We are wondering when you think this next wave of the virus is going to hit.
My guess is that if it, we don't see any really hot clusters here in North America yet, but we do in Chiapas province, Mexico. We have had Alexander Bachman reporting that there's a number of deaths of a more lethal strain there. We've got a very high rate of death in Venezuela. Reported in the public, at least, there's over 1,000 deaths now, probably around 1,100 as of last week, which is pretty high. So there's more lethal strains popping up. They're now acquiring new gene changes just by recombining with existing viruses like the human H1N1, not the pig H1N1, and other viruses. So just through natural recombination, the virus is going to become more lethal. And it's tracking along, according to Dr. Nyman, Henry Nyman at Recombinomics and other viral experts, it's tracking along the exact pathway that was predicted by the Promise Oracle software, that the virus would recombine and eventually become more like the 1918 flu pandemic. So at the very least, that would be a 2.5 to 5% case fatality rate. And that rate is high enough to shut down public services and declare martial law. That's high enough to shut down society. And I think that it's probably going to happen this fall or winter, at least for a period of time when the wave passes, like 6 to 8 weeks.
If you're a betting man, would you say something like October, November?
The end of October, somewhere around the third week in October, we should see enough cases accumulating with the virus, people returning to school. And also at that point in time, if the virus hasn't mutated, it's obvious to me from my sources they're going to introduce either the vaccines itself will cause the new super plague to reemerge, because it's going to contain genetic material that will recombine with the virus in people. Because if you've got, let's say, a relatively milder version of the H1N1, and they introduce in the vaccine material that contains RNA that will recombine with it with lethal genes, or they're using other things that are toxic, like these vaccines. If you give someone a virus, like H1N1's already in their body, and you give them a vaccine that's quite toxic with these adjuvants, the free radicals in the person make the virus mutate. So I think they're going to speed up the evolution of the virus by the vaccine program. There's lots of evidence to that, which means probably somewhere when the virus vaccine arrives in mid-October, within a couple of weeks, we're going to probably see the emergence of much more lethal strains showing up by the end of October.
We've had a couple of people, though, you probably heard this rumor as well, that, well, actually it's a bit more than a rumor, it's more like an insider report, that
right.
there's an aerosol precursor that has been part of at least the recent chemtrail program.
That's been going on for years. I was first told about the binary weapon system where they would use things to alter immune system function. Back in the mid-90s when I worked at the Federal Center and U.S. Special Forces in Delta in Denver. And it wouldn't surprise me at all. We know that one of the things that's in jet fuel, that's in pretty well all jet fuel, is ethylene dibromide that was stopped as a pesticide but was added back into jet fuel in the early 90s as an agent to improve combustion in jet aircraft engines. And we know that it's a direct neurotoxin and immune suppressant. So that's one of many things, but it wouldn't surprise me because I'm getting reports of people calling me all over the country that after there's heavy chemtrailing, they break out in sinus infections and boils, their immune system shot. They get all kinds of illnesses indicating they've had a toxic exposure. So that's what's called a binary weapon system where you soften the targets and then you expose them to a pathogen. Yeah, they're getting ready for what I call the hard kill, and these pandemics are to soften the population for a new economic order, a reduction in the population, and more compliance by trackable national IDs.
One of the reasons why your own view on this is so valuable is because you spent so much time working closely with insiders in your capacity as a doctor for many years.
Right. I worked actually at one of the appointments under Reserve Admiral Hughes on Operation Top Off in Dark Winter as a civilian. And as a whistleblower, I've had a lot of death threats, a lot of harassment, a lot of professional harassment, including the State Board of Examiners, and even there's quite some other stories that go right up to people like Judge Mache, involved with Oklahoma City as early as 2 years ago. So people need to know that I've gone through tremendous persecution and threats to tell the people the truth.
Yeah, Bill, sure. you actually had a couple of death threats just recently. Isn't that true?
Yeah, and you don't know how seriously to take them, but I take everyone seriously. So we reported the phone calls, and we actually tracked the numbers to non-service numbers. And here's what happened. We had a gentleman by the name of Joe Blow. He called and cursed and swore at my wife and said he was going to kill my entire family and my wife on the phone live. And then we got a call just a few minutes later from a fellow that claimed to have a British accent, but it sounded put on. And we tracked the number to Texas, not the UK. He claimed to be calling from the UK and said that this first person had called, and you better watch out for him because he's coming to kill you. And so we track both numbers, and they're non-service numbers. Now, we have evidence to indicate that some of the things that are going on with us, because we're getting pretty close to the truth, that we've really aggravated the powers that be, because they have a plan to start reducing world population. As I received the documents, March 16th, 1997, from scientists at Human Life International in Zurich, and I was told about the Promise Oracle software and the plan to exhume bodies from Alaska and recreate the 1918 plague, I went over the data 3 years ago with Henry L. Nyman, which is a recombination of the WSN-33 and Iowa pig flu strain with new gene deletions, which are virtually identical to the 1918 flu that were incorporated in the H5N1 avian flu, and additional changes including the deletion of the 4 amino acids in the non-surface protein 1 that makes it bypass interleukin 4, making it much more lethal than even the 1918 flu. So what they've done is they've loaded the gun by having the avian flu released in the late 90s. It's now endemic in bird populations around the world, but it only has killed a couple hundred people. But now they have this super flu that mutates between 2.3 and 3 times faster than any other flu in history. Relatively low lethality, except for people with high body mass index or pregnancy where they have high cytokine levels or asthma. But it's acquiring new genes and it's tracking exactly along the pathway of the 1918 flu that had a herald wave that was mild and then became very lethal in the second, third waves and killed between 40 and 60 million to 100 million people worldwide. So they've done this on purpose. I had the documents now 12 and a half years. This is the primary, and it's ceremonial. People say, well, why don't they do something else? It's because they're going through an ancient ceremony that goes back long before Sumer to ancient Atlantis, called the ceremony of Pahanuk, which is a term in Sumerian for the ceremony of the phoenix that was picked up by the Egyptians. And it's basically the keepers of civilization are ready to crash this civilization and resurrect it with their plant.
Do you have any idea what the role the sun might be playing in this scenario that has to do with the vaccinations and stimulating disease?
Well, we know that their solar cycles are directly linked to plagues. If you look at the great plagues of history, they're all tied to solar cycles and solar activity. And the flu pandemics are all tied, including the 1957-68 Asian flu. So that's part of it. The second is the globalists are quite well aware that solar cycle 24, they miscalculated, and they actually knew what was going on, that it's going to get very active in the next 3 or so years with a very high probability of solar mass ejections. In fact, just a few, I think it's a month or so ago, we started seeing one of the largest solar storms that had occurred in a couple of years on the sun. And in 2005, October, we had a solar mass ejection. It was so large they had to make two new solar mass ejection classes, an X and an M class. It was so powerful it passed half the distance of the Earth to the Moon.
Thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one.
Bill, are you there still?
I am indeed, and as I say, lots of news coming out on what's going on with the manufacturers, like MedImmune is now enrolling volunteers for their clinical trials. They're a subsidiary of AstraZeneca, PLC, based out of London. And, of course, this is a live virus. This is a live attenuated virus. The danger is right now they're trying to jump the idea of bringing in these adjuvants that are going to cause an autoimmune disease. The British Academy of Neurologists and Neuroscientists has put out to their academy that there's a dramatically increased risk of this vaccine causing ascending Guillain-Barré paralysis, which can literally come up your arm or leg and eventually suffocate you, or you can end up on a ventilator, either temporarily or permanently causing damage. And this is what happened in 1976. 100% of the Gulf War veterans that were exposed to the anthrax vaccine had antibodies against squalene, and it doesn't just do a temporary thing, it permanently changes your immune system, so you'll attack your central nervous system, cause autoimmune vasculitis. And these vaccines, by the way, we know are grown on fetal cell lines that contain oncogenic viruses that can cause cancer in the long term as well. This will cause not only neurological problems like paralysis, but you know that there's a very high risk it will cause spermatogenesis to stop, so it functionally makes males sterile.
I wanted to ask you if you're aware of the newest Torchwood, which is a BBC series, has got a new season. It's called Children of the Earth, I believe. Yeah, Children of the Earth.
Torchwood. And that's the TV series out of Britain, right?
Yes, BBC.
Yeah.
What I wanted to tell you and ask you about, which is really interesting, as part of the lead into the series this time, they're talking about an epidemic. And this is perfectly in keeping with the Illuminati basically telling you ahead of time what they're going to do. And
that's
one
because
of the things
it's ceremonial. That's why they do that.
Exactly. And I wanted to get more into this subject with you. And one of the parts of that BBC series, which I encourage everyone to watch, because it's going to be giving you a lot of clues into the way the Illuminati think about what they're planning to do, basically. And they're it's kind of, in a sense, it's cloaked, I guess you might even say, propaganda about it. And it's an excellent series, by the way. And what they're talking about are children, that all of a sudden children will be targeted by the virus. And I'm very interested in the way that they are targeting school children right off the bat in the real world.
Right, yeah, they're targeting pregnant women and school children. We know that the adjuvants in this vaccine And in fact, in the first hour of my show, which is next hour, I have Dr. Russell Blaylock, who's on the 31st of July, and we talked about this, trying to do, quote, a rescue program for people who took the vaccine, but there really is no rescue. We may be able to stop you from dying from it. But they're targeting children, and we say, and this is his statement, if you vaccinate women and the child survives in utero, they're likely to have schizophrenia or autism or serious mental disorders. And we believe that this is basically going to make children incapable of independent thought or resisting any, kind of a total police state. So if a child's been exposed to these vaccines, it's going to destroy their ability to be able to resist, say, in the next 10 or 20 years, the increasingly encroaching super state and matrix that they're building. In fact, Obamacare, and we're going to discuss this next hour, already is included in the bailout bills, the recent ones, the Obamacare, the electronic medical record, and the DRGs or diagnostic regional groups, which the AMA has sold out the medical profession. So what they've done is they cannot have a total matrix and a mark of the beast type system without any health care. So Obama's not putting in health care because he cares about the people. He's putting it in for control, because if you wanted to make sure people had insurance, you'd simply issue so many $100 so they could purchase insurance, and then you'd pass regulations so the drug companies would have to give the best price to the drugs to the people, and you'd send regulations so that the insurance industry wouldn't spend so much money, and you get rid of a lot of the overburden of regulatory control that is chewing up a lot of the money in health care. What they're going to do is actually put an electronic choke chain on doctors that'll put them in prison, and for the public, it'll mean that, and I saw this humorously, they had a video sent to me a couple weeks ago of someone that tried to order a pizza in 2012. And, of course, they knew what his waist size was. They knew his blood parameters. They knew everything. They knew his bank accounts. And this is the kind of thing that they're doing. They're building an electronic matrix. When they devalue the dollar, which is the U.S. dollar reserve note, is now the reserve currency for 64% of the reserve of all the world, many countries, they will make it's a form of economic terrorism to the planet. They will literally take over the world using this debt, this massive debt monster that they've created, will be a fail-forward system toward a total matrix. And so the plague is just another one of those instruments to be used to not only kill off a chunk of the population, but also to move the remainder into a situation where there's a vastly reduced ability to reproduce, a vastly reduced ability to resist, and a total matrix electronically to control every transaction electronically, so that even any currency or gold or silver coin will be considered illegal and punishable by imprisonment. That's already in the Patriot Act.
I don't disbelieve anything that you're saying, sadly. But on behalf of our listeners, sometimes we get asked this question, which is very simply, why are they doing this? Why would the Illuminati destroy their own house? Why would they destroy their world? Why would they destroy the workers in the factories who are making goods for them? Is there more to it than just overpopulation? This thing that you were saying about a ritual sacrifice, that's crazy enough to be true. And I wondered if you could just sort of drill down a little bit into the logic. And the reason why it's valuable for us to have you on our show, one of the perspectives that you have to offer by virtue of your experience with these guys, is that you understand how they think, because you've spent enough time with them, for better or for worse,
right,
to be able to tune into their thought processes. How are they thinking? What is their logic? What are they really, really trying to do from their own point of view?
Well, there's several different tracks. The first track is the Earth is going through Earth changes. If you look at the geology of the planet, every three shars, which is passages through the plane of the galaxy, and the plane of the galaxy is a gravity well, because the supermassive black hole at the center of the galaxy is equivalent to 2 trillion star masses the size of our sun, and it spins out and forms a disk-like gravity well that has a debris belt, a photon area that's more dense in terms of energetics in that area of space. And there's a 30 times higher risk of an impact with an asteroid or comet as well as we pass through the belt. There's also a very good deal of evidence that if there is a dwarf star companion of Earth, it resides here in this debris belt. And so what they refer to as Planet X is probably really a small dwarf star that never ignited or ignited very briefly. And they know that there's going to be Earth changes. And every 11,000 years, if you actually look at the discontinuous record of evolution of animals on the planet, the magnetosphere of the Earth reverses, roughly every 11,500 years, and that the reversal is accompanied by a layer of carbon, nanodiamonds, which are formed from space, and iridium. And these can be picked up geologically in the record all over the planet. So it happens that we're entering that period of time when we're likely to have this event happen fairly soon. So they are preparing underground bases in pretty well every country on the planet for a percentage of their population. Currently in America, they have space underground for about 30 million Americans. Every country, North Korea, Japan, they're all preparing for underground survival centers to survive the events because the magnetic field. Now, at the current rate, it's not predicted to drop into a danger range for 800 years, but these events can happen much quicker than we expected, and they can also be also tied to major changes in climate. Right now, for example, we're having a major increase in volcanism, especially in the southern hemisphere along the oceanic trenches, where there's a very long trench of volcanoes, over 23,000 volcanoes, that are very, very tall, like the Swiss Alps. And there's a great deal of activity this year because we're having the activation of the El Nino, which is a chain of volcanoes near the Galapagos Islands, 1,000 miles from the west of the western coast of South America. So they know this is happening. The second thing that's going on is on a spiritual level, we exist on what's called the lower five dimensions. The lower five dimensions are what we refer to as time-space, which is a fourth dimension, and there's a fifth dimension, which is full to time space as a dimension above that. And of course, these advanced cultures that are not zero order cultures like our culture is a zero order energy culture. It's also a zero order spiritual culture. We are being impacted by other advanced civilizations, both good and evil, that exist in not only our dimensional plane, but higher planes. And we're coming to a crossroads. And the evil side are putting us through a ceremonial process that is to extinguish most of the population in the sense that they sacrifice to their astral or higher dimensional gods, reptilian gods, that so it's a ceremonial process. They could accomplish it probably much more efficiently than they are currently doing, but the reason why they do this and they publicly tell us in things like this movie or series Torchwood and in big screen movies in Hollywood is they do it because it's part of their religion to show that they are putting this out so the profane don't understand, but only the adepts understand it. And so that's why they're doing it in this manner. They believe they're the keepers of civilization. They've kept ancient knowledge going back through a number of collapses of civilization. They are the people that we currently call the Teutonic Knights, or there's many different incarnations. Some people might call them the Masons. They've existed with a number of different names or titles down through civilizations. And they've tried to preserve ancient knowledge going back to the ancient empires that collapsed under the major earth changes that we refer to as Atlantis and Mu. Human beings have been on the earth, and this is what we're going through now is the end of the fourth age of mankind on the earth. And they're quite well aware that this is coming. So there's both the third line, which is, you got to remember, to them, they're doing what is expedient. So while they're spreading plagues, they're trying to prevent interference with the survival of a remnant of the civilization. At the same time, they're doing an astral sacrifice because they are masters of light and darkness, so they're willing to do both good or evil to maintain control and bring order out of the chaos because they believe that whatever they will is right rather than adhering to the will of their creator God. So,
in a sense, they're doing it just because they can. Is that right?
Yeah, and also because they believe that the God of forces, the God of power, the God of intellect, makes them capable of surviving because they prepared, they're quote, capable of doing both good or evil. They feel, for example, they've already pre-labeled people that may not even know that they're about to be brought underground in these cities. They're ready and prepared to extinguish a good chunk of the human population, because they feel that the overburden of the population under chaos might interfere with the survival of the remnant. They know that there's going to be a collapse of food supplies. For example, if the magnetosphere collapses, all the grassy plants will disappear, which means all the grain crops on the planet will be gone. And right now there is a thinning of the ozone layer, so their approach, you see, is based on totally the dialectic of we will do what is expedient, good or evil, to maintain control.
Bill, we just interviewed Patrick Jarrell over in Amsterdam, and his information is limited in some ways, but it is very interesting in regard to what he talks about would be a pole shift on the sun that would then stimulate, I guess, a pole shift here on Earth.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about. Pole shift is amazing. Yeah.
Yes, I understand. You're talking about the magnetosphere. But,
yeah, well, that is part of the pole shift process. You can have a magnetic shift, which has already shifted three times since 97, but a true magnetic shift has already started. In the South Atlantic, there already is a North Pole zone that's hundreds of, thousands of square miles near Antarctica in the South Pacific. And there's also...
Okay, we're going to have a break right now. We'll come right back with you.
Okay, this is Bill Ryan here with Kerry Cassidy and Dr. Bill Eagle. And we're from Project Camelot. We're delighted to be talking with Bill, who we haven't talked to for a little while. I must say, so far, and I urge anyone who's just tuning into the show to listen to the archives that will be posted within 24 hours, because Dr. Bill is giving us what I could only fairly call a horrifically clear summary of what he feels is the nature of the storm that we may all be sailing into. And
yeah.
I do have to say that this makes a very great deal of sort of perverted sense to me, in the sense that you have to learn how to think like these guys. And one of the reasons why they get away with this stuff, Dr. Bill, would you agree, is that ordinary good people cannot make themselves think in the way that they do. Therefore, they can't believe it. They can't put themselves into their shoes. They can't answer these questions about why would they do something like this. And this is what we were talking to you about just before the break. It's like, how do they think?
They think in terms of dialectics. They think in terms of control. The best way to describe their personality type is very intelligent control freaks that are what we call the pure root of what we call Satanism. And Satanism isn't like a lot of people think, okay? It's evil, but it's based on the real principle of if my intellect can allow me to use the means of good or evil to maintain control, I'll use this. So they're very expedient. Now, a person who's truly, quote, good, they're primarily led by, quote, the spirit. So in other words, they don't just kill a life form or end a civilization to maintain their control of that situation. So these people don't mind the idea of annihilating a good deal of the species or even most of the humans on the planet if they can maintain control and move into, quote, the next age, which is a period of time after this, the Earth goes through these Earth changes. So that's where you have to get wrap your mind around it. And we're dealing with a clash of galactic and cosmic empires, too. If you look at the equations that have been done in terms of the number of advanced civilizations throughout our cosmos, and not just in our, quote, time-space continuum that we call our local time-space in this part of the galaxy, in this part of the known universe, you have to think that we're a very rudimentary civilization. We're a zero-order culture. If you just think in terms of a culture like, think of us, say, 10 million years from now or a billion years from now, which is quite possible, to think if we survive all these things, we don't destroy ourselves. For those cultures to interact with us would be like us interacting with an insect. By and large, most of the people don't understand it. Now, in the ancient cultures, they referred to a lot of these people who understood these higher spiritual, higher dimensional things as, in the ancient Hebrew, they referred to them as Melchizedek. In the native shamans, etc., they understood them as special forms of high shamans. There were people who understood the transcendency of higher dimensions than the five dimensions of our universe. And they also knew that there were, quote, holy men or holy beings that actually were able to, as it refers in the Bible, to the Melchizedek, or the high priests, who knew that there were entities and worlds, they call them the seers, that came from other worlds that would teach mankind, oversee mankind, but wouldn't interfere because there were galactic and cosmic laws. But that there are also evil cultures that are out there that are to interfere with human beings, that were in there to genetically splice and modify human beings, that were there to create destruction in our culture and to maintain control. And so we've been dealing with a spiritual warfare, a galactic and cosmic warfare, a warfare against an intelligence that's non-human and cosmic for untold ages that's interfered with human beings and human culture for a long time. And the outgrowth of that is what we see in the lower levels are what we call the Illuminati, but they're really just minions. The intelligence that's driving this is non-human.
I think that's very key, and it's something that we need to come back to, is the notion that the intelligence is driving what's going on right now on the planet. at least from the negative side, are definitely non-human.
No, it's definitely non-human. And I know lots more specifics, but I don't. I talk about it. If we have more time, I could talk about more specific, because I've been before the Council of the Eschaton 3 times, and I'm going to be before them again shortly. People need to understand that there are people on this earth that are of a level of spiritual knowledge and wisdom, and there are many of us that understand that we're at the crux of history, and that we're in a galactic and cosmic battle. It's not just a geopolitical battle. It's not just a battle going through the earth changes. It's not just a battle against technology and emerging with technology, as Ray Kurzweil. It's a battle for the very soul of what we are as a, if you want to call it a son of God or a daughter of God, a literally supernatural being. If there's any transformation that I can see happening in North America and the world, is that the transformation will be, as I've said it before, which kind of shocks people, that if you're going to, quote, see the Messiah, you have to be a Messiah. If you're going to see the Anointed One, you have to become anointed. In other words, you have to start listening to the Spirit. You have to start moving with the Spirit. You have to start knowing and seeing the battle of good and evil, and understanding what's really at stake here is much more than just the death of flesh or species or mankind. It's much more than that. And we're about to leap off the planet Earth, for example, in our space programs, which is much more advanced than what has been told to the public. And that's why they do these psyops, putting out programs like movies that obviously look like they're mocked up, that we never went to the moon, when in fact we have a moon city and we have a colony on Mars. They don't want people to know the advanced technology that would release us from the bounds of energy. They don't want us to know about things like life extension technology and cybernetics and nanotechnology. They don't want us to know that we've already had contact with advanced civilizations. They don't want us to know that there's a spiritual warfare with advanced transdimensional beings that have intelligence that's far beyond human. They don't want us to know these things. They want to dumb us down with fluoride and toxic vaccines and cut our lives short and make us flaccid, if you want to call it, ghosts of what human beings really are, which is a transdimensional super being with a sensory mechanism we call our bones with our flesh on this planet.
That's right. We're actually a combination of many, many very fine species. We'll come back on the other side of the hour.